Welcome to the CRA Resource Show. CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. My name is Becky Clark, and I'm Operations Manager here at CRA Resources. Today, we are sitting down with Angela Roberts, Head of Recruiting, and special guest, Dee Dee Cornelius. Dee Dee is a longtime client of ours and is the Senior Director of Clinical Operations for one of our favorite sponsors. So make sure to visit creresources.com/blog to catch up on our latest blog posts. If you haven't, you can also sign up there to get this content delivered straight to your inbox. So I will turn it over to Angela and she can give us more details on our topic today.
I thought that today would be a good day to have a discussion about how companies can recruit their recruiters. And I love that Dee Dee is here, but I want to make clear to everybody that's listening, this is not a sales ploy. Regardless of how sponsors or CROs want to acquire their CRAs, they need to hear this detail, because what we want to talk about today is how do you select an agency that will work in your benefit and will protect you as a company, or alternatively, if you decide that you would like to recruit your own CRAs, some things that you may want to consider and to think about. So that's the big bucket topic. And Dee Dee, I'm super excited. Dee Dee and I worked together for, what did we decide the other day? Well over 10 years. How long has it been?
Long time, yeah.
Yeah. Over 10 years. Really long time. So if, Dee Dee, you were in a position today to have to find an agency for your CRAs, what would be the top two or three things that you would be looking for whenever you're trying to go recruit a recruiter?
So most important to me is an agency that will check for fraud, because we know that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. It's easy to make your CV look really great, but is that information true? Has it been checked? Has somebody really looked into that, checked all the references, things like that? And also the timesheet recording. Mm-hmm. For us, it has to be very detailed, study specific, drug specific. What does that look like? And for accuracy and things like that. And again, mm-hmm. fraud, you know, because we question, you know, yeah. Is there an audit trail where we have questioned mm-hmm. hours and, you know, because some CRA may take 3 hours to write a report. And if another CRA records 6 hours, we just ask why. It may not be fraud. They may have taken that time to look through a really long safety report, or it's not always fraud, but we do want to ask, and we want that audit trail of where we ask those questions. So,
yeah. And it could have a lot to do with the number of subjects that were enrolled since last visit. I mean, it could be so many different things, couldn't it? And issues that have been identified. I agree. I mean, we do use a system, and I don't know if all recruiting agencies have a system. And I know some of our clients actually have their own time and expense system as well. But a lot of the small to medium sized sponsors and CROs don't, you know, they still are on Excel spreadsheets or, you know, I mean, it's, you know, and we actually did that for a long time, didn't we, Dee Dee? Way back in the day, we just passed Excel spreadsheets or Word docs back and forth. But the problem with that is, you know, from a project management perspective, then you don't know what your spend is per protocol. And also to your point, what are the outliers? You know, do I have someone that's consistently billing a flat 10 hours every time they write a report? You know, just being able to see that. And every CRA should be able and willing to defend the hours that they bill. And it's not because they're being challenged. It's just that, hey, these are billable hours, and this is why I spent the time doing what I did. And if they start getting defensive about it, it's a question, isn't it?
Yes, for sure. A lot of admin hours on a timesheet is questionable. So
exactly. And we've actually had to release people, you know, for that reason, to where they weren't hitting codes except for overhead. And we're like, okay, well, there's not a lot of overhead for a CRA to do. I mean, your site management, you're traveling to a visit, you're doing the visit, you're prepping, you're following up, you're writing a report. I mean, it's just a certain number of buckets, isn't it?
Yes.
But I would agree, having an agency that can help you with that makes a big difference. But, you know, fraudulence is its own category. I had a gal after I spoke at the ACRP. I had met her at the ACRP. She was an HR director for a mid-size CRO that is oncology focused. And she was the only recruiter. So she was recruiting CRAs and everything else they needed. They needed an admin. She was recruiting that too. And she had put a post out and she received 100 applicants for that CRA post. And she said, I don't know how to get through them. And from an HR perspective, it's difficult because there's legal ramifications if you don't treat every applicant the same way. And so she was told by her director that she had to talk to all 100 applicants.
Wow.
She ended up quitting. She's like, I can't. Yeah, yeah. She said, I know that at least half of these are fraudulent. She ended up quitting. Could you imagine doing that?
No. And I think the other thing, that's no, I can't imagine.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I felt really bad for her because it's our statistics right now and it changes. You know, whenever I first started shouting about fraudulence, I guess that was way back, probably 2012, maybe about 20-21% of our candidates were fraudulent. We prove were false. I mean, they really worked at Verizon. They didn't monitor. They had never monitored, but they, you know, worked at other places and woke up one day and decided they wanted to be a CRA, you know, and we know so much more now. But my sorcerers tell me now, Dee, that about 60% of the candidates that come through our portal are fraudulent. 60%.
That is crazy.
Isn't that scary?
It's very scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah,
I think that definitely dovetails into something else that I think about. Dee Dee, what are your thoughts on this about reference checking? Do you find that that's especially helpful with a firm that you're working with?
Yes, absolutely. I love to see the references come through, you know, and read the backgrounds from the managers that have managed the candidates. So that's very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we check site references too, and I don't know how many agencies do that, but I think we lose about, what did we decide, Becky, at one point, 44% of our candidate pool at reference stage?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly, because, you know, they can be good at their job, but we have to corroborate, you know, and that's part of, they fall out either for being poor quality or for fraudulence at that stage, you know, because we tend to do that and do our due diligence with reference checking, corroborating information as well from both sources. So that way we can, that kind of goes into the fraudulence bucket as well sometimes. And then sometimes they've been at it, but, you know, just weren't able to prove that their skills were great, didn't rub off that well on their managers and their teams. So, yeah, it's a tricky one.
It is tricky. Yeah, because a lot of times people will think, and we've had this, Dee Dee, where we've had to let people go because they were behind on their reports or whatever, and then they come later and ask for a reference.
Yes. Yes, we've been there too.
Yeah, and you question their ability to self-assess. You know, whenever we fired you because you weren't meeting your deliverables and now you think you're going to get a reference. It's interesting to me, isn't it?
Right. And that's the other thing I would ask of an agency is, what is your process when we do need to terminate a contract? Because that's the beauty of having an agency is I don't do well in that area. So I like the fact that an agency will do that for me. And then all ties are cut at that point. There's no more communication. So you don't have to deal with the backlash of that contractor. So,
yeah,
because it's not always ended well.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's, you know, people angry, but most of the time it is because of late reports or, you know, we have caught people fraud on their expenses and we just had to let them go, and severing those ties are hard.
Well, and we had a situation, actually it was a someone that had worked for us on another project, but I think that they worked for you guys directly, didn't they? And we're going to leave the names out to protect the innocent, but he had made up that he had monitored stuff that he hadn't monitored, hadn't he? I remember you asking me about it because we knew this guy, right? We had placed him before. You had known him for a really long time. And I think it was you guys were going through an audit and you questioned something. And then all of a sudden, magically, he was like, oh yeah, I really did monitor that. And he went back in and changed stuff. Is that right? Am I remembering that right?
Yes. And then there were the airline tickets that didn't really happen. So,
yeah. Well, and then you and I compared notes once where we had a candidate. I had them placed for another sponsor and you had them placed directly. And the sites just happened to be in the same place. You remember this? Yep. And he was traveling to the site, like Sarah Cannon, and he was billing me for the airline and you for the airline.
Yes. Oh, no. Double dipping. Yes.
And of course, you know, people don't know. I mean, whenever you've got people like me and Dave, we've been in this industry forever and we know each other, right? I mean, we're going to compare notes.
It's a small world out there in clinical research. Yeah,
it is. We were texting back and forth going, wait a minute, what is this? Do they know this is our job to find fraud? And we
I'm like, Lord have mercy. Well, but you know what? Crooked pencils are crooked pencils. And my worries whenever it comes to something like expenses or padding your timesheet or, you know, whatever is, okay, well, are you going to sweep that that protocol deviation under the rug? Or are you, you know, because you really like the coordinator, you think she's cute or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you gotta do the right thing all the time, every time, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is an industry where, you know, it's an honor system policy. Mm-hmm. You have to trust these people that you're putting on the road and you trust what they're doing. And, you know, it's just like, you know, when we interview people, especially contractors, we say, we're paying you while you're on your flight. If at all possible, you could work on your report on the way home or, you know, start some emails or anything. You're getting paid to fly. Mm-hmm. So if you could work on that flight, not nap or read a book or, and they're all, for the most part, they're willing to do that. So,
yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that too, because we do push for full rate travel. I know we've had clients in the past that have pushed for half rate. I don't think we have any of those now, even though we've had them in the past, but, mine is the same thing. Hey, if you're going to catch the in-flight movie and have a cocktail, please don't bill me for that time. Right. But with that being said, I get it. You need to go from point A to B to do your job. You should, you know, I traveled all the time with IBM and I expected, I mean, not that I was paid hourly, but I mean, it wasn't vacation, you know, right. But I agree. If you're going to be on the plane, then let's be as productive as possible so that, you know, yeah, good, good, good. Now, if you were put in a situation, we're going to play more pretend. If you were put in the position to where you could no longer use an agency and you had to do it yourself, what would you tell everyone out there that's listening? If they had to go out and hire their own CRAs, what would you tell them to be wary of?
So I've kind of had to do this a little bit in the past. I've used Google, of course, mm-hmm. to make sure that these places really exist. And I do check their references and try to get as much information as I can. It's harder on your own for sure. But, I have found some on my own where the universities they say they went to didn't exist or, they weren't really a study coordinator at this place. And, you know, they moved directly into a CRA and it's harder for sure, but you can Google is your best friend when you try to research someone's CV information. So,
yeah. And if you could, I agree because it is harder. And that was the issue with the gal that I talked about at the front. She was like, you know, and that, let me back up. There's a difference between talent acquisition and HR. So if you, Dee Dee, were trying to hire someone directly, you have to treat all applicants equal until you've proven fraudulence or you've proven, you know, that there's the educational institution doesn't exist or whatever. And it is a lot of work on your part. Talent acquisition, which is us, is a whole different ballgame. We're representing people and we get to pick and choose. So if I'm looking for Marilyn Monroe's, I don't have to interview Jackie Kennedy's. Right. So it helps to be able to engage an agency if you can engage an agency. It's going to save you a lot of time in the long run because we've had 125 up to 700. There was one job post I had that had over 700 applicants. So being able as an individual for a company like yourself, going through all of those and trying to figure out who you want to talk to, much less trying to figure out who you don't want to talk to, can be a challenge. And but, you know, so you Google it, you know, did Kindle really exist when they said Kindle was on their resume? You know, was Chiltern really Chiltern whenever they said they worked for Chiltern, or was it Occam or Theorem or whoever else they used to be at some point? You know, it becomes a challenge really quickly. if, you know, you're on your own and you're trying to do that.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I don't have the time or the resources to do that. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, there is that too, isn't there? Is being, because you're supposed to be running clinical trials. You're not supposed to be dealing with.
Yeah. And coordinating interviews and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, even pre-hire, there's so much more that we can help you with, you know, coordinating interviews and lining up candidate submissions and all of that stuff where you can just look at it and say yay or nay real quick, you know, hopefully if we're doing our job right, you have so much more time to be able to do what you need to be doing. So that's our goal.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, kind of a little bit of a sidestep. In a perfect universe, when you get candidates over, whether it be from us or from direct or even internal referrals, because sometimes you hire people that your CRAs know directly or, you know, you have in the past, what are you looking for there? We talked a little bit about this in the car, but in general, what are you looking for there?
So I like to look for longevity, of course. Mm-hmm. Someone that kind of sticks with the job. They don't leave when it gets difficult. I like that they build good relationships, mm-hmm. and you know, they're really good at what they do. If you get a resume, somebody that stays at a job 12 months and changes and every 12 months. And, you know, I ask them, why did you leave? And they say, well, you know, I didn't get along with this person, or, you know, sometimes they have a really good, valid mm-hmm. reason. They could have left for family reasons, or they moved, or that's mm-hmm. okay. I don't have a problem with that. But I love that some of the people we have on the team now, you know, they were with their jobs for a really long time, mm-hmm. and they switched for valid reasons. So, you know, the mm-hmm. practice shut down, and we have one girl who was a study coordinator for 32 years, and she worked on our studies, and I had said, if you ever want to grow up and be a CRA, you know, please call me. And she did, you know, so and she, you know, now she says, if I ever go back to being a study coordinator, I'm going to be the best one out there, because now I know, you know, what not to do.
You see it on both sides, don't you?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Mm. Yeah. It's like the single blips versus trends idea, right? Yeah. Like, you've got trends of people, and we talk about this a lot, especially lately, about tenures and, like, you know, a lot of short tenures in a row, you know, and then a lot of the reasoning being, well, I just felt like leaving, or I didn't like this, or whatever, or, you know, they throw their, I love this expression Angela always uses, they throw their lollipop in the dirt and they go on their way. And, you know, versus like single blips of things, you know, like the contract ended, the study ended, they didn't have any other work, you know, yada, yada. So there's lots of reasons, but I love that you take those things into account. We do too. We think that's really important.
Well, and I think too, the other thing to think about is whenever you're working with an agency, and this would be one thing that I would tell anybody that's considering an agency, regardless of whether you're considering this one or another one, is get one that's niched. Because when you're looking at tenures, for example, I mean, this was a really nice, great job on the topic, Didi, because this segues into a really good point. Because when you look at tenures, you know, we'll have individuals that will say, you know, the company was slow, or I had to leave because, or, you know, whatever. And they're kind of alluded to the fact that something happened with the company, there were layoffs, or there were, you know, there was a merger or an acquisition, and it caused the culture to change or what have you. We know if that's true, because this is all we do. We know that Fortrea used to be Covance, used to be this, used to be that. And we know when Syneos became Syneos and IQVIA used to be Quintiles. And I mean, you know that, right? And so whenever you're living in this industry all day, every day, you know when a company is experiencing layoffs or has a cultural issue and there's a lot of people mass exodus leaving or what have you. And I think that makes a big difference too.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Well, anything else you can think of that you would give, any advice that you would give anybody, Didi, that might be in the position that needs to be able to hire great CRAs and doesn't know where to go?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I just would say, you know, do your research and make sure that you're hiring people that are definitely qualified and ask those questions when you interview. You know, I ask the tough questions. You know, have you ever been in a really sticky situation with a PI, and how do you handle that? And what was the outcome? And because everybody that's been in the industry has been there.
Yeah.
And really pay attention to what their response is. And there's not anybody that hasn't been in that situation that's been in a CRA or, you know, even a CTM. They've all had those situations where they ought to be able to tell that story and have a good answer for that question. So
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think that's real. We actually just had a gal that flunked an interview for that reason, asked the question about a tough situation with the site. And what did she say, Becky, that she really hadn't had anything that she couldn't, that she thought was difficult? And I was like,
yeah. Right.
Well, good for you.
No way.
Yeah.
Did she just start yesterday?
Well, yeah. Or even if you know, not anything you would think is super sticky, turn on your creative thinking brain and think, what would you do in that scenario? You know, you want somebody who's well-rounded, who knows how to think through all those things and doesn't get stuck in the moment, you know, knows how to escalate properly and communicate appropriately. And, you know, and then us, you know, having your back, you know, for ones in DD situation, like we can be your HR partner, you know, for when there are issues that come up with people who are placed working with you. You know, we love to be able to partner with you to work out issues, not so much on the operational side, but things where we can help you figure out solutions.
Yeah. And one more thing that I would advise is for those of you that are trying to recruit your recruiter is definitely, you know, this is the first thing that Dee Dee said, and we can't agree more, but ask what the process is for identifying fraudulence. I think most people that I speak with, they fall into one of three buckets. They know it exists. They don't know how to handle it. They don't believe it exists. They think it's marketing ploy that we're trying to shout, or they don't think it's as big of a deal and they think it's individuals. There are individuals that falsify their resumes. Don't get me wrong, but this is very organized. I just had a gal reach out to me about a month ago, and I'm trying to figure out how to position this without calling out too many players, but there's an actual company. There's more than one, but this specific company was the one that she whistleblew. It's a company that actually, for a fee, will hold these classes, and the fees are pretty extensive. I mean, we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars, but they'll have these classes to where they will bring individuals in that want to be CRAs that come from wherever, Verizon or Financial or whatever they're doing. And over a period of time, they will teach them how to pass interviews. They will give them resumes that show somewhere between 12 and 16 years of experience. They will serve as references for the individuals. And they will also be the one who gets the telephone numbers that get called for employment verification for these companies. And these individuals will pass competency assessments. Whenever I was training our latest recruiter, whenever I was sitting in, I would tell her, this lady is fraudulent. And you can tell because she worked for a company that was in existence when she didn't work for them. When she said she didn't work for them on the resume, you could tell going in it was fraudulence. But I said, she'll pass the competency exam. We're going to do this interview because I want you to know how smooth these guys are. Right. They will pass your competency exam. They will pass your interview. Sometimes they get tripped up over behavioral because they've never had an investigator that's committed fraudulence or a coordinator that, you know, whatever. They haven't had some of those experiences, but they'll pass. And the only way you can catch them is to have a good assessment program to go out and co-monitor with them once they're already out in the field. And if they're perms, it's hard to get rid of them at that point. So
that's very scary.
It is. But it's very organized. It's very organized. So it's like the mafia. It's like the clinical research fraudulence mafia that we're dealing with out there.
Wow.
So it's real, you guys. All y'all that are listening, I'm telling you right now, it's real. And you got to be on your guard because every time we think we've got it figured out, something else comes around and they get smarter and slicker every time.
Boy, that's the truth. Oh, well, thank you so much for this conversation. Angela, Dee Dee, thank you so much for joining us. This was so helpful. Thanks to everybody out there listening at CRA Resources. We understand you have so many options when it comes to selecting which clinical recruiting company to partner with, but we take pride in working with the highest quality CRAs and site managers, and we love working with quality pharmas, biotechs, medical device companies, and CROs who recognize the importance and value of a CRA's role. So feel free to reach out at CRAresources.com for more information about our firm, and we can't wait to work with you.